Hi again, it's the Roundtable on WAMC, 11 minutes after 9 o'clock. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue as we convene our Roundtable panel today. We're down a man on the Roundtable panel. We're a person short. Today we have two panelists, Times Union Associate Editor Mike Spain and University of Albany Journalism Professor and Investigative Reporter Rosemary Armeo. All right, so
fortunately, we have big mouths. It'll be no
that's
loss.
Right, that's it.
Yeah. No loss.
You'll have to exert a little more effort today.
We'll
16
try.
Point, I don't know, whatever half of 33 and a third is. A lot of decimal points. All right, so the email address here is roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org, as we kick things off. By the way, a little housekeeping here before we start. Friday, August 21st, 8 p.m. at SPAC. That's the Saratoga Performing Arts Center. It's WAMC Family Night. We are going to have a booth there. There'll be prizes and freebies and meet some of your favorite WAMCers. Oh, and by the way, Joshua Bell on violin, playing Dvorak and Brahms, etc. Joshua Bell, arguably the most celebrated violinist of our era, and the Philadelphia Orchestra. So it's WAMC Family Night, Friday, August 21st, 8 p.m. That's this Friday at SPAC. It's WAMC Family Night. Exciting stuff. Thai police are looking for a man who is seen in video wearing a yellow T-shirt at the scene of yesterday's deadly bombing in Bangkok. Video posted on Thai media shows the man sitting on a bench in a downtown crowded shrine, taking off a backpack and walking away. Police photos appear to show the same man. Police say not only is he the suspect, but he's the bomber who killed 20 people and left more than 100 wounded. Today, a second explosion went off at a ferry pier in Bangkok, but no one was hurt there. Police say the explosive device was thrown from a bridge and blew up after falling into the river below. So I don't know how much we can add to this conversation at this time, but this is huge news, especially for the tourism industry.
Yeah, the economy in Thailand is extremely shaky, and tourism is a big pillar of it. So once again, the same thing is happening in Tunisia and in other places. The targeted places are all Western favored hangouts, and it's just it's so deliberate. And I don't know the answer to that. You know, there was a movement in Tunisia to get people to come back to Tunisia. You know, don't let the terrorists run you off. But you know, if you're going to spend a lot of money and you want to have a really great time, are you really going to go into a place where there's violence? It's very difficult.
Well, a lot of people from the U.S. have started going to Thailand. I mean, they've avoided some of the other spots for the reasons you just said. So this is going to be a big economic hit to the country.
Rosemary, have you been to Thailand?
Oh, yeah. My son worked in the Peace Corps there, so I've been a couple of times at least.
They tell me, all the reports that I see is that it's a very open place.
Yep.
And it's a good place for tourism.
It's a wonderful place to go. It's warm. It's interesting. The food is great. The people are wonderful. The beaches are world class. It's just wonderful. There's been fighting between Muslims and other people in the south, in the far south. So you know, we stayed away from there. We, you know, let's be a little bit reasonable.
Right.
But this is right in Bangkok. This is the heart of tourism.
Yeah. And there seems to be some question, at least at this time, of whether this is in fact a domestic political dispute.
Yeah, it could be political, not simply religious. We don't know.
Yeah, the videos that they're broadcasting are chilling. I mean, it reminds you of the Boston Marathon backpack bombing.
Yeah, the whole sitting the suspects with the backpacks. Yeah, it also is a reminder of just how incredibly easy it is in today's world to carry out a terrorist act. You can protect, you can put up cameras, you can increase police forces. But wow, if they want to do something, they just really can do it so easily. It's frightening.
So ultimately, what's the end game? We sit in 8x8 boxes and with our computers and be safe?
Well, then the terrorists win. So
well, yeah. But is that what the terrorists really want?
Well, inevitably, what they want is to disrupt what's going on, and then with the chaos or the results of what they do, then they can have a leverage on the political situation. I mean, that seems to be what it is.
Yeah.
In these kinds of cases,
and they did in Thailand throw out the prime minister last year. There was a coup against her, so they have had success with their disruption plan. So.
So we'll see what happens there. Now, here's one that I would consider in the terrorism field in this millennium. The IRS says thieves used an agency website to steal tax information from as many as 220,000 additional taxpayers. The agency first disclosed the breach back in May. As you recall, we talked about it here. Monday's revelation more than doubles the total number of potential victims to 334,000. The thieves access a system called Get Transcript, where taxpayers can get tax returns and other filings from previous years. Now, in order to access that information, the IRS said the hackers already had information about the taxpayers, including Social Security numbers and dates of birth. The IRS believes the breach was part of a sophisticated scheme to use stolen identities to claim fraudulent tax refunds in future years. The IRS says it'll be notifying newly discovered victims in the next few days. We'll be watching our mailboxes. The agency will offer credit protection. But really, at this point, what good does that do?
I was going to say, what can they do to protect you? Credit protection? What does that mean?
Well, it lets you know if there's been more activity and lets you check in and to see from time to time whether activity on all your accounts is only yours or somebody else's.
I want a whole new identity if it's not following.
Well, I mean, it does come down to that. But this was a flaw because, as you said, Ray, the intruders had some information and were able to use it to get old tax returns. And with that, they were able to file fake new tax returns and have the refunds go into, you know, these set up bank accounts. And then they would withdraw the money before anybody would realize what's happened. So it really allowed them to very cleverly steal money. I don't know whether it's terrorism. I mean, it's just plain robbery.
It's very sophisticated. It's very good crime work. Yeah. I, as if I needed another reason to hate the IRS, this is one of them. I want to know, did they lie when they said 100,000 and it was really three times that much? Or are they just now discovering the extent of the hacking? That's one thing I want to know. And the second is, we know that the government, like many businesses, have been very lax on cybersecurity. What have they done? Can this happen? Can this still happen? And the third thing I want to know is if this is connected to other hackings we have seen where there have been big grabs of names and Social Security numbers or names and birthdays. Is this somehow being put together and that's how it happened?
Oh, wouldn't
you
think so?
That's really extensive.
I mean, there's got to be people who are brokering this information and then selling it, and then others are exploiting it in this way. And it was a clever scheme until they shut it down. And what happened was legitimate taxpayers went to do their taxes, and when they went to file, they were told, you already filed.
And we did have this problem before electronic filing. Mm-hmm. I want to start sending in my taxes by mail again. I want to use the postal service.
Okay, and this gets back to my point. And by the way, the email address here is roundtable@wamc.org. It's the panel today, Ray in for Joe. We're joined by Mike Spain and Rosemary Armeo. This gets back to my point that I led into this segment with, which was, to me, this is an act of terror. And I'll tell you why. Because in this day and age, when everything about you is in electronic form, and as Rosemary said, in the old days of paper returns, and when you're Social Security card was sacred. You had it on a card. You didn't tell anybody your Social Security number. In these days, stealing identities, I believe, is akin to terror.
Well, it's terrifying for someone to have control of your identity, but the motivation isn't political upheaval. The motivation is becoming rich.
Ah, but it could be at some point. In other words, you destroy the entire if this happened to not 300,000, but 30 million or 100 million, then you destroy the underpinnings of an entire economic system and society.
Well, there's some appeal to that. We wouldn't be able to afford wars in the Middle East if all the money were being diverted to Russian criminals.
Right. But I think the primary motivation in these cases was just to go out and steal money. But you're right. I mean, the widespread loss of confidentiality will put the economic system into chaos, and that could be a goal of a terrorist.
Or an enemy foreign power.
Sure.
Yep. One that maybe has done hacking already. Let's take a break. It's the Roundtable panel. The email address is roundtable@wamc.org, and we will be back.
Support comes from the Wild Center, featuring Wild Walk, a high line for the Adirondacks, with treetop views from 1,000 feet of bridges through a living forest. Wildcenter.org for details. Real Seafood Company, Wolf Road Colony, locally owned seafood restaurant and raw bar, realseafoodco.com. And Alarms of Berkshire County, offering full-service residential and commercial security and life safety monitored systems based on individual or corporate needs for nearly 35 years. alarmsofberkshirecounty.com.
to the Roundtable panel on WAMC, 9:21 on a Tuesday morning. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. We're joined today by the Times Union's Mike Spain and Rosemary Armeo. And we got an email here at roundtable@wamc.org. This is from David Kay. Hi, all. I just wanted to say is that all places can be dangerous. People say Israel is dangerous, but people live there. Millions lead regular lives. Right here in Albany, it's dangerous. Shootings last night. We need to clean up our own first. That's from David from Albany. Comment? Anyone?
Well, I think that it's a very good point. I mean, and every place you go, there's going to be the chance for crime or just random acts of violence. But the perception is what's going on here. And now the perception is that Bangkok is a place that terrorists are active. And if someone was planning their vacation, it's just like I knew someone last year before the Ebola breakout in West Africa who was planning to go to thousands of miles away in another part of Africa, but they were just frightened by it, so they changed their plans and went someplace else.
Americans are really, I think, among the worst in the world on this because we're so far away from it. So we'll hear, when I went to Uganda, people say, aren't you afraid of Idi Amin? I mean, Idi Amin is dead.
And this he's
was
been dead
30
a long
years
time.
Ago. And you go to Israel and it's like, oh, it's all war or Sarajevo. The fact is that even in these places where there is upheaval, it's limited, it's in a certain place, and there are millions of people living normal lives there. So
but
you
isn't
can
that
be
our fault
everywhere.
In the media to some extent? I mean, we paint the picture of the worst things that happen everywhere.
Oh, blame it on the media,
Ray. I blame you, Spain, and the Times Union.
There is something to that. I mean, you'd think that when I went to Egypt, for example, it's like, oh, my God, there are demonstrations. Well, there were demonstrations while I was there, but it was in this one place in the city. Mm-hmm. And even in the rest of Cairo, it was completely safe. Yeah. So, we tend to think that the bad things we're reading about are all of that society, and it's just not true.
Well, people, even in this region, because of the Times Union and other news media.
Mainly because of the Times Union.
Well, the dominant news media would have the biggest responsibility.
Exactly.
But Alan would never have let you get away with that.
When we have the largest audience in the capital region, I believe.
Well, all right.
We'll hear about that.
Fine.
Anyway, but when you write stories about, you know, Schenectady, Troy, Albany, I think there's people who live outside of these cities, you know, our communities, who are, afraid to go down to, an event in downtown Albany or in downtown Troy or Schenectady when they hear about crime. Yeah. And it's kind of foolish because the main areas are well protected and they're active. I mean, I've had people, I know someone from Del Mar who went to Proctor's in Schenectady last year and said, my God, it's beautiful over there. I just never had any idea.
There are, right? You know, the same is true of the view of America held by foreigners. Like in Bosnia, the dominant view of the United States is we eat hamburgers and we get a lot of plastic surgery. Because that's what they read about.
Both true.
It's hard to argue with that.
Yeah.
But have you ever talked about a place you would not go? I mean, I love to travel, but I do have a list of places I would not go to, and it's pretty small. And one of them was Pakistan, which I did go to. But Somalia. I would not go right now to Somalia. I think that's a
Westerner,
dangerous place.
It might be a dangerous
or
place.
Or Syria. So. Mm-hmm. I stay away from Syria for the moment, you know. But other than that, you will be surprised by going to places that are not Western Europe, which is on our list of great places for Americans to visit. There are wonderful tourist attractions all over the world and great people to meet.
Well, you have traveled more than most of us. Many Americans, one of the beautiful things about America is it's enormous,
right.
And it's from sea to shining sea.
Right.
There's a lifetime of things to see here, so a lot of people don't go anywhere. You've been lots of places, Rosemary Armeo. Given your intellectual understanding of what we just discussed, are there still places where you have to go where you say, I'm a little nervous?
Yeah, Pakistan was definitely one of them.
But you went.
I did. And Algeria was another. They were targeting Westerners.
Mm-hmm.
And I went because I liked the work there. And when I was there, there were some things I didn't like. You have to be really careful. You have to, you know, hide your address and drive with drivers and all this. But you still meet these amazing people doing work that's brave and important and interesting. So the world is worth visiting. I did go back to Tunisia after the not the beach bombing, but the one in the museum back earlier this year. And I went back, and people there are, you know, heartsick that they're going to lose.
Well, if you had a friend who was planning a big vacation in Bangkok to Thailand, and they came to you and said, what should we do? We're frightened about this. What would you advise them?
I'd say go. Just be careful. You know, if you're going to be, this was a major tourist attraction where this latest bombing happened. That's where these things occur, in the marketplaces, in churches, in synagogues, in a mosque, those kind of religious gathering places. You just can't, don't go out at night. Go with natives. Go with, you know, local friends.
At essence, you've been all over the world. Are people, are they the same? In other words, from Pakistan to Rensselaer, are they the same people at heart?
Absolutely. There are bad people everywhere, but and we know that. That's what the media does emphasize. Mm-hmm. But there are really, really good people everywhere, too.
All right, let's take care of a couple of emails. We'll take care of more at the other side of the news. This one is from Eric. I was a potential victim of the Anthem hack. Every time someone accesses my credit report, I get an alert and can call a toll-free number to find out more if I'm concerned. IRS will also provide a number to victims so they can validate their returns and prevent fraudulent returns from being filed using their Social Security numbers. That said, no excuse for allowing this to happen. That's Eric in Rhinebeck. This one is from... We did David Kay. Okay, moving on here.
Well, Eric's point is good. There are steps you can take to mitigate the impact of these breaches, but it's still outrageous that it happened.
This is from Ken, who says, hating on the IRS? Misplaced. Hate the mostly Republican legislators that underfund and understaff the IRS. That's from Ken.
Yeah, the IRS. TSA, IRS.
I think there's a good argument. The IRS is continually underfunded, and how can they build better systems that are ironclad and better protected?
I'm opposed to more money going to the IRS.
Some people want to get rid of the IRS.
Yeah, some
file
Republican
with a postcard. Remember
right?
That? You know, the straight tags. File
yeah,
with a postcard.
Sure.
What was that Forbes, right?
Yeah. It's great for the rich.
All right, this one's from Tom. The IRS is not the bad guy here. You don't blame the victim in a murder for being shot. Plus, the government needs
Wait. The IRS is dealing with the most sensitive information of American citizens, and they are not responsible for having a system that's hackable, not hackable? Of course they are.
All right.
It's complicated.
All right. Okay, we have time for one more here. Hey, Rosemary. This is from Anonymous. Considering the crappy cybersecurity, if feds may be... Hillary was not right. Was right not to trust Fed servers. Okay, the reading is not all that great. The writing is even worse. Hey, Rosemary, considering the crappy cybersecurity, if feds maybe Hillary was right not to trust Fed servers.
Okay, the Hillary thing, which she's doing such a bad job taking care of.
We're going to do that next. By the
drags
way.
On and on and on,
making a lot of mistakes.
I think she just didn't want to deal with the incredible bureaucracy of the federal government, and it's a decision that was stupid, as it turns out.
Yes.
But understandable. There it is. 10 seconds.
All right, as John McLaughlin would say, wrong. Eleanor Clift, wrong. All right, we'll deal with that coming up. It's the Roundtable panel on WAMC. Mike Spain, Rosemary Armeo, and Ray Graff, and we'll be back after a short news. It's the Roundtable on WAMC, 9:33 on a Tuesday morning. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue, joined today by Rosemary Armeo and Mike Spain, and the email address is roundtable@wamc.org. And we got email. And I'll tell you one thing. I'll apologize in advance. Anybody who's done a show with me knows I like to use paper. I have paper all around when I do my show. I do not like devices, but I am reading email off a very small iPhone here. All right, here we go. Panel. This is from Robert. I was in Bangkok in May and spoke with various Thais about the political situation since the army deposed the democratically elected prime minister with a trumped-up charge about going on a televised cooking show. All those who were willing to talk about it were upset about the situation and afraid to talk above a whisper for fear undercover agents might be nearby. It's not a stretch to think that under such circumstances, a violent response to military rule was only a matter of time. And that's from Bob in Albany. And Bob, thank you for punctuating. It makes me sound less of a boob than I actually am. What do you think, panel? Anything on that?
No.
Okay.
Good
moving on. Thanks, Bob. This is from Jeff. IRS hack. But if you use traditional paper filing, don't you think someone at the IRS then enters your information into the same database there? Nice civil show today.
Oh, you have there been civil shows? I have not been listening while I was away. Do we need a fight?
I think they're surprised because you're here and it's a civil show.
Oh, that could be.
You know. That could well be.
Alan's not here. He's the troublemaker.
Well, I don't know. You put the two of you together, it's like atomic fusion, right? let's see. John Fisher. Whoops, I said his whole name. No, it's not. It's not John Fisher. Actually, it's the wrong name, and I won't even say his real name.
That was interesting.
Well, I got his last name wrong.
You shouldn't be reading the mail, you know.
Yeah, well, I told you. I'd like it if we had a producer today who was printing it out, then I could read.
Yes.
I've had my credit card hacked 3 times in the last 10 years. All it cost me was 20 minutes on the phone with the credit card company. All the money was put back in my account the same day. I have just accepted that this is the reality of the world we live in. Our information is no longer secure, and that's from somebody else. Let's see. This is from Bonnie. Dear panel, isn't the first step for countering hacking asking what would a hacker do? I'm thinking the IRS needs to consult their own kids at home for tech security advice.
Yes, good luck.
Well, I mean, in fairness, the IRS is underfunded.
Okay.
And it takes money to build
you know,
secure
every,
walls.
Every agency of the federal government, you might make the same statement about. And
but
Bosnia,
this is particularly this is particularly vulnerable because they have all the information that matters.
But
about
you
people.
Set your priorities, Mike. So if you're at the IRS and you have limited funds, what's going to be the number one thing you spend money on? What's more important, in other words, than security?
Well, to them, enforcement.
Okay.
And, okay, all right. See, you almost went over the line from civility there. This is from John, who says, Spain, stop pounding the table.
Oh.
And you know what? You don't have headphones on, and so it's not your fault for not understanding. But, here, let me put my iPhone down. Very light object. Okay? There is an issue. We're in Studio X, okay? It's the performance studio. Our Studio A is being fixed. That's where the show is usually done. We're at a table. It's got some insulation on it. We have rigid mic stands. If you're watching at WAMC.org, you'll see. Anyway, one of the problems with the setup as it's currently constituted, if I just gently put my rather delicate hand on the
sounds
table.
Sounds like Khrushchev.
It sounds like Godzilla is coming in. Yes. from Okay, so we'll watch that,
point
John.
Point taken. Thank you.
Thank you for your civil note there.
So that's how you're so nice. You're really sublimating it.
I'm banging my hand.
Yeah, that's right. All right, this is from Vane, who says, why wouldn't stealing identification in order to steal money from large numbers of people be an act of terrorism? It's disruptive, abusive to the system, and to the individuals affected.
Oh, absolutely. It results. That's the result. But I think the primary motivation here is just to make money, to be a thief, to get rich, take somebody else's money. But it will cause chaos if it gets out of hand.
We're kind of obsessed with this labeling of things, right? Is it terrorism? Why won't the president say it's extremism, Islamic extremism? The words are important.
This one's from John again. Stop pounding the table. It's making me crazy. All right. Thank you, John. We've addressed that. We appreciate it very much.
This is from Jorley.
You guys hitting the mics is scaring me. I thought I hit something with my car. Great show today. Please watch the mics.
We're on notice now.
All right, listen.
We're sitting on our hands right now.
You know what? We need some of that memory foam under the table and under the mics. We're going to work this out. And by the way, eventually we'll be in Studio A, which is going to be so amazing.
Deluxe.
Oh, God. It's like going to be like the Jetsons, you know? this is from Walker. If you missed John Oliver's takedown about the tax-exempt process for religious institutions on Sunday, do so.
No,
wait
a
minute. If you missed it, do so. Okay. And
he is a genius. John Oliver is brilliant.
This is from Steve, who says, LOL at the IRS. The GOP Congress has cut nearly $1 billion from the IRS enforcement budget to protect their 1% constituents, the hackers, terrorists, jailbirds, and corpses. Thank you for your refund at ID. Every $1 cut means you lose $8 in revenue.
Yep. That's my point. You change your priorities if you don't have enough money to run the way you want. And it should perhaps be changed from enforcement. I would love for that to be cut and sent to better security.
All right, fair enough. This is from Michael, who says, hi, gang. It's always grating to hear Rosemary pop off about her dislike of vital government services. Just look at the...
I love the services. I don't like the people who administer them. Totally different.
Each dollar appropriated for the IRS generates substantially more than $1 in federal revenue. In fiscal year 2013, the IRS collected about $2.86 trillion on an appropriated budget of about $11.2 billion. That translates to an average return on investment of 255-1. But yeah, let's defund it. That's from Michael.
Wait. I did not argue to defund it. That is just like, in fairness, that is you did so not. Unfair.
In fairness, you did not.
I mean, my point is that... all agencies, and even say the university has been cut. And I could make the same argument you just did. Every student who comes in pays tuition, so to pay a few faculty members brings in much more revenue. However, there's still cuts. And if you are an agency head, then you deal with the cuts. The IRS has not. And so it is not fair to then come back and say, oh, it's too bad about the security. We just need more money. It doesn't work that way.
All right, here's one from Tom who says, Rosemary's right. All departments in the government are underfunded. This is the Republican economic terrorism against anything governmental. Ouch, man. Ouch. All right. This is from Megan or Megan, depending on how you pronounce it. This is a great show today. What about the fact that, well, let's just stop there. This is a great show today. What about the fact that all of her medical records are online and therefore susceptible to hackers? I believe she means you.
Being the only
female. What do you all think about that?
Well, I now write on every time I go to the doctor. I write on the forms. I waive my HIPAA rights. Please give information about my medical records to anyone who asks, especially news reporters. Why are our medical records so sacrosant? I really have a trouble
with
this.
Well, they can be used against you.
Yeah.
A prospective employer can identify people who have expensive illnesses and somehow push them out.
I can see this in some instances, but I'm talking about my
dentist. It's a basis for
discrimination. You know, I have a cap. Okay, how's that going to be used against me?
It can be a basis for discrimination, and that's why it should be confidential. And while you don't care about your information being out, I think other people who want their privacy respected have that right.
They do, but we don't do a good job at it. Do you go to your doctor and you fill out a paper form and then they ask you the same questions over again? And the next time you come, you get asked the same questions again. Is this really kept online? I'm not convinced of that.
It's gradually moving into an online portal system. It does have a really rigid firewall. They send you an email to your
Hold it. Does anything have a rigid firewall?
Well, I think it does. I mean, you know, the ones we use.
I bet the Russians know your medical history.
They'll send you, right, it's pretty boring. They'll send you an email and say, go onto the portal with your triple-checked, you know, fact, name of your grandmother's maiden name and all that stuff to get in, and then you can go look in the inbox there to get your message.
Yeah.
I mean, it's several layers.
Okay,
it's,
but still, the Russians know.
Appropriately protected. Well, they do. They do know my grandmother's maiden name.
Comrade Spain has a goiter. Let's see. This is from Luke. The problem is that our Social Security numbers are so entangled in our lives, once a thief gets it, they can do great damage. That needs to change. Social Security numbers should not be a key to our lives. The government needs to do something about this. My 3-year-old daughter had her Social Security number stolen during the Anthem hack. Tell me, how is that fair for her?
Yeah, that's not. She needs a new number, new identity.
You're raising a good question. There should be a way to give people new identities.
Yeah, start over.
You know, basically restart. You're right. You know, it's like go back to factory settings or something.
Yeah.
How much work would it be to generate all the Social Security numbers to give us all new ones?
Don't they have computers that do that effortlessly?
Well,
maybe the Russians could do it for us. This is from Michael.
Contract it out.
Yeah. Hi, gang. Rosemary calls John Oliver a genius. I agree. She should watch his episode on the IRS. That's from Michael. This is from Susan. No, Susie. Good morning, and thank you for your wonderful program. First, Susie, are you tuned to the correct station? Second, she goes on to say, will you plan to discuss the New York Times article on the beating at the Fishkill Correctional Facility and the removal of the Patriot missile from Syria? On the list, unlikely those weighty topics we'll get to today. I assume Joe will have that one tomorrow. I think
the New York Times is doing a great job holding the New York State Department of Corrections Services
to account for this.
Yeah, to account for everything that's been going on across the state. And I think it is about time someone focuses on the system.
I second that.
All right, last email for a while, and then we'll move on here. This is from Jim. Last year, 60 Minutes reported that gun groups have successfully lobbied Congress to block funding for the government to keep electronic records of guns. It's all paper files, stacks and stacks of them, all designed to have little or no gun control. It's a little off topic, but okay.
But, yeah.
You know.
All right. The State Department says that the review of Hillary Rodham Clinton's emails have found as many as 305 of the messages that could contain classified information and are requiring further review by federal agencies in a filing Monday as part of a lawsuit against the State Department. Officials told a U.S. District Court judge in Washington they would be able to meet an existing schedule to release copies of Clinton's emails because only about 5% of the messages reviewed so far contained possible secret information. The agency said those 305 emails with potentially classified data were among more than 1,500 documents analyzed so far. The filing came after Clinton contended in an Iowa radio interview that she never sent or received any emails that had information clearly marked classified. Who goes first?
I think she's in trouble. I think this is beginning to sound like Richard Nixon during Watergate. She's coming up with excuse after excuse after excuse, and there's going to be the likelihood that at least one of these 305 emails has something on it that will expose her as mishandling confidential information that has high security value. And whether it does or doesn't, it's just going to be nagging at her. She can't seem to get rid of this. And it also fuels, when it first happened, people were complaining that Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton like to play outside the system, like to not follow the rules, and they parse their answers, and it looks bad. I think she has a credibility problem here, and she's got to take control of this. And making jokes about Snapchat, the app that has a message disappear and never come back, and making jokes about that, it's not a good idea.
Okay, I agree that she is handling this very badly and it continues to nag at her. I will agree to that extent. However, here's the problem. One, it's about keeping information secret, which the public does not care about at all. They do not care about open records, or we in the journalism profession would have a much easier job of it. Second is, tell me anything that came out of these records. We haven't heard 305,000. Next week will be 310,000. We have not heard of any information spread.
All we need is something to come out that is contrary to what she has stated.
And then she will be portrayed as covering up.
She's already portrayed that way.
Mike. So in other words, she's done a very terrible job in getting back at it. The original New York Times story was flawed. It made her sound like she was doing something illegal that no other Secretary of State had ever done. Both now are untrue. And she's got Republicans. Of course she's the target. And so they're nagging. Oh, look, she had more than this. Oh, she's dishonest. And we're playing into it.
Well, the FBI is involved now, right?
Yeah.
That's not the Republicans.
And so is Bob Woodworth, who was, in fact, the reporter from Watergate. Yeah, but he's a big Republican. Of course he's going to say that.
A big Republican who helped take down a Republican president.
Exactly, but he's always been
he's very conservative politically. I don't know that he's enrolled in a political. But Rosemary, getting back to your point, does it then, for you to be satisfied
that this is something, does it have to be proven that this classified information somehow hurt the country for this to be an issue?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think so.
We allow the American public is perfectly happy with NSA hacking into all of our phone and email messages. We have no problem with that. So why do we care that the Secretary of State had some messages that she said no, these don't really count when they should have?
The problem is she had her own server deleted.
I know what the problem.
Rather than turn it over. Tom will write another letter.
Does that hurt too?
John will write another letter.
I didn't pound.
Yeah.
Well,
I'll just pound you directly. Does that make sense?
You see, she's back, boys and girls. Rosemary,
you're jumping on me. I think that this is overblown because the media doesn't have anything else on the Democratic side much to talk about.
Biden crossed the wire this morning, very early this morning on the AP. Federal investigators examining Hillary Rodham Clinton's homebrew email server could find files on her machine that would be more revelatory than the emails themselves. They might learn how the server was configured, whether it received necessary security updates to fix vulnerabilities in software, or whether anyone tried to access it without permission. That server data is stored on a hard drive. It's unclear whether the drive Clinton used was thoroughly erased before the device was turned over to federal agents, which, by the way, is another story.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's beginning to sound like the 18-minute gap.
Any comparisons between Nixon and Hillary Clinton? Come on.
All right, we're going to take a
media
break.
Media hype. Here we have
We're going to take a break.
We're talking
here.
About cover-up. We're not talking about actions or motivations. We're talking about cover-up, and that is a dangerous thing.
Remember that email we got about the nice civil show today? Forget about it. Now, before we go to break,
take it outside.
Ponder this, Rosemary Armeo. Doesn't it strike you as perhaps a little reminiscent of the depends on what your definition of is, when she says in an Iowa radio interview that she had never sent or received any emails that had information clearly marked classified. If you're Secretary of State and you're doing company business, you got to assume some things will be perhaps classified.
Oh, you mean like the CIA writing notes to his little girlfriend? Wow, we really reacted with scorn and hatred against him, didn't we? No,
David
we got
Petraeus,
like a
was
slap
he
on the
pled
face.
Guilty to a crime.
He got
he
a slap on the
job.
Hand.
He was removed as the director of CIA because of it.
He's not in jail for 35 years like Chelsea Manning. We don't care if it's certain people who do this crime.
Like Hillary Clinton?
Well, I don't know about Hillary. I think we are crucifying her over it, and she's doing a horrible, horrible job answering
it. She really
it.
Is.
I will repeat that. She needs
to take control of this crisis.
She does.
What fun we're having.
That.
What right. fun we're having. It's the roundtable panel. Oh, get me out of here. Let's take a break, Hopper.
Support comes from Colby Attorneys Service, corporate formations, document retrieval services, court filings, and legal publishing for the legal and professional community since 1939. ColbyService.com. The Olana Partnership presenting Live in the Landscape concert series with Larkin Grimm and Company, Saturday, August 22nd, 6 to 8 p.m., olana.org for tickets. And Charles Padula, DDS, Union Avenue, Schenectady, providing dental implants to replace missing teeth. PadulaDDS.com.
Nice, a little jazz version of Der Stingel. That's the Police, right? Done in jazz form.
Yeah.
Lovely. It's the roundtable panel on WAMC 951. By God, only 8 minutes to go, so hang in there, everyone. Mike Spain is the editor of the Times Union. Mike, what's happening in the paper today?
Well, the big story is the opening in federal district court on Monday of a very unusual case where a guy from Saratoga County, Glendon Scott Crawford, is facing trial for allegedly building an X-ray weapon that he tried to sell first to some Jewish organizations so that they could use them against Islamist terrorists, and then later on tried to sell them to what he thought was a representative of the Ku Klux Klan. It's a bit preposterous. It was it never actually was built, or there was never a weapon produced, but he did devise this idea of coming up with the weapon, and he knocked on the door of a synagogue in Schenectady and said, "You people would probably like to have this," and they kind of blew him off a little bit. And during the opening testimony at the trial, where he could go off to prison for many, many years charged with terrorism, he could, 15 years in prison he faces, he could, the people were describing him as being unstable, and they, and his own attorney, Kevin Louis Brand, is saying that all he was doing was talking about something, nothing was ever produced, people were never hurt, and yet it's this crazy story of intrigue where the FBI had an informant record him talking about using the ray gun to secretly fry people from a distance and then they would die, and he made lots of racist remarks against Islamic people. So it's a wacky trial. There was another guy who was from Columbia County who in 2014, this all happened back in 2012, but in 2014 pled guilty to a lesser charge and is in federal prison. He was kind of helping Crawford allegedly put together this device, but I think he was kind of gaming him because there really is never a device like this. It was kind of pie in the sky.
It's a crazy. I mean, when the story came down a few years ago,
right,
it had all the hallmarks of some sort of an onion piece.
Super ray gun that would fry people's innards and then they would die.
And yet this guy is facing
one of those. How did he succeed with that?
Well, no, I mean, that's succeed. The point. It was never really, constructed.
He didn't get a chance to, maybe we could divert some federal
and
money
his,
there.
His attorney is saying that he was sort of led into, entrapped into this with the informant recording.
Did he
things.
Have the parts for it?
Oh, he had, there were some pieces, but they never did achieve the radar, the
X-ray,
radiation.
The X-ray laser machine. But the guy is facing a significant stretch in the slammer. So
that's
ultimately,
right.
Not funny for him.
Not at all.
But at what point?
He's charged with attempting to produce, construct, acquire, transfer, receive, possess, and use a radiological dispersal device, conspiring to use the weapon of mass destruction, and distributing information with respect to the weapon of mass destruction. Now, the weapon of mass destruction never existed and never really happened, but he's charged with those crimes, and he faces 15 years in prison.
Wow.
And, crazy story. But, I mean, at what point in our society, mm-hmm. in our system of jurisprudence, can talking about doing something, but not really doing it, land you in the slammer?
Well, it's about criminal intent.
But if you're maybe a little bent, and you say, I'm going to build a stairway to the stars, clearly, and NASA doesn't like it.
Yeah, clearly the clearly the defense, you know, will zero in on the remarks by some of the witnesses who Crawford first approached back in 2012, who said that he seemed like a nut. He seemed unstable. He seemed like he was talking out of...
I think
this story has a lot to do with how we deal with people who are just, you know, a little different, a little off. We don't know how to deal. Criminalizing their behavior does not seem the best thing to me. I don't know. I'm reminded of the case in Colorado, the Aurora theater thing, where you have a young man who's got schizophrenia and he commits a heinous crime, and we don't really have the wherewithal to deal with that. We send him to prison.
But the difference is he committed a crime.
Right. This guy just talked. Yeah. And the other similarity to this is with the Boston Marathon people, where those suspects were on the radar of officials for making violent statements, for being looking like extremists, and no action was taken against them, because you are allowed in this country to have freedom of thought and expression.
Correct.
It's when it moves to action
although there was never a device produced, he was making threatening remarks, and he was talking about destruction of large numbers of people and piles of bodies and things like that.
Yeah.
So,
on that borderline, and that's
sure.
really hard to deal with. It is an interesting constitutional case.
Well, it's playing out in federal court in Albany, and we'll be covering it as this trial progresses. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And a minute or two left here, but Mel Brooks. Yeah. It will be in town.
It's a big story. Mel Brooks, 89-year-old Mel Brooks, is going to go to a limited number of places around the country to talk on the 40th anniversary of Blazing Saddles. And one of the places he's coming is Schenectady. It's going to be on October 16th, a Friday night at 7:30 in Schenectady. And he'll... tickets are going to go on sale soon, and the advantage here is that you'll get to talk to him after the movie is played, and he'll tell stories about his life, and he's only going to do it in 8 places, and one of the places is Schenectady. So that's a special thing, and Times Union readers are going to get a heads up on it, because you can buy the tickets.
He probably
this week.
Has a lot of jokes based on Schenectady.
I know George Burns always did, but I mean, Proctor's is a lovely, lovely place.
It is.
So maybe he knows that, but it just seems like if you're doing 12.
It seems like he's doing vaudeville.
You have something there. The email address here is roundtable@wamc.org. roundtable@wamc.org. So many email messages here. I don't think I can get to all of them. This one's from Joe. If the White House email security is on par with IRS, Hillary's personal email was probably more secure. That's from Joe. And that was your
many
point.
Many people have said that. Yeah. Yeah.
John says, in Newburgh, says, Snowden has taught us that classification is used largely to keep the public and oversight committees in the dark and not for legitimate security reasons.
Yeah, yes.
Why the classification creep on Clinton's emails?
Yes.
But I would think that certain messages that come through can't be classified until certain situations happen. But if you are in a government server, if you're on the government server, they make the decision, your emails stay there. But if it's on your own, who makes that decision?
I think that's what's hurtful for Hillary about this. She made a decision on what email she gave over to authorities, and she deleted the rest, and that does not have good optics.
Mike Spain of the Times Union, Rosemary Armeo, thank you for keeping it civil for the first 18 minutes of the program. We didn't even get to Shell drilling in Alaska and so many other stories.
Okay,
today.
Come back tomorrow. We'll get to that.
Yeah, I won't be here tomorrow, so it'll be really be good for you guys.
Drill, baby, drill.
Drill, baby, drill. The email address, once again, roundtable@wamc.org. Sorry we did not get to all of them today. Another hour, and then another hour after that, of scintillating infotainment ahead.